I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm Chef Tom Jackson.
And you're listening to Cooking with Fire.
This week, we're going to be talking about pork ribs.
Let's get started.
This is Cooking with Fire, a global exploration of barbecue from KMUW.
Pork ribs are one of barbecue's true stars. They're available at the local grocer just about everywhere, and they're even on the menus of major restaurant chains who have made them a part of their national marketing campaigns.
You can even find rib meat sandwiches on menus in major fast food restaurants, but they're really not a great example of just how good ribs can be. Today, we're going to give you a recipe for the two major cuts of pork ribs, back ribs and spare ribs, that will have your dinner guests praising your skills on the pit.
But first, some background on pork ribs. As Tom just mentioned, there are two major cuts of pork ribs, backs and spares. These two ribs come from different parts of the pig's rib cage and thus are very different, not just in how they look, but in how they cook.
You can think of these two cuts as the two major sections of pig ribs. As the ribs start at the top of the pig, connected to the spine, they start to wrap down and around the pig. This is where we get back ribs, so named due to this location. This is a fairly lean part of the animal, and quite meaty. This all combines to give back ribs, or baby back ribs as they're also called, their distinct curved shape. These ribs are considerably shorter in length than spare ribs, and are not always uniform in size and shape.
The second section of the ribs is the longer portion that drops down toward the pig's belly. These are called spare ribs. In their full form, they are a very large cut that includes the rib tips and are popular not only in restaurants, but on the competition circuit. The other rib cut is the St. Louis cut, and these are simply the middle section of the spare ribs where the rib tips are removed. These are very popular in barbecue competitions due to the very uniform size and shape of St. Louis cut ribs. Many times you will find individually wrapped St. Louis cut ribs at the grocery store, so just know that these are actually just spare ribs. Now, the area of the pig these come from, which is the sides and toward the belly, means that the meat is far fattier, and they have a lot of intramuscular fat running through them. This adds a ton of flavor to the meat and is the reason that they are my personal favorite to smoke and eat.
Unlike beef, pork is not grated. So when you're looking for ribs at the store, simply look at the color, which should be a nice light pink, and the fat, which should be white and fresh looking. Pass on any meat that looks green or yellowed as it has started to oxidize. Another tip is that if you can't find already trimmed St. Louis cut ribs, you can simply buy spare ribs and trim them yourself, which is quite easy. And the meat that you remove can be ground into sausage, which is one of our favorite things to do in our test kitchen.
This is the perfect time to get into our recipe, so let's cut out to Chef Tom in the All Things Barbecue Teaching Kitchen as he smokes up a rack of back ribs and a rack of St. Louis cut spare ribs.
All right, I am here in our teaching kitchen, and I have in front of me two slabs of ribs, one baby back and one St. Louis cut spare rib. These are already trimmed up, but just to tell you guys how we got to where we are, the rib tips were trimmed from the St. Louis style. You can get those already trimmed. And then for both sets, what you want to do is flip those over to the back side where you're looking at the bones, and you peel that parchment skin off the back. You start with a paper towel working at one corner until you get this little layer of film up, and you can tear it all off all at once. So from there, I'm just looking for any excess areas of fat, anything that just doesn't look like it should be there, so we can clean it up and it's nice and presentable. So where I'm at now is I'm ready to season these ribs. And what I want to do is hit it just with a thin layer of oil. This is going to be our binder. You could use mustard, you could use whatever you like, just something to help the rub stick to the meat. So we're going to rub this over all surfaces of the meat. And we're going to do this with both racks. And now we have this nice film that's going to allow the rub to really adhere to the meat. So we're going to take our barbecue rub. I've got mine here in a shaker. And just fairly generously give a layer. You're going to lose a little on the board. That's fine. We can scoop that up and put it back on. But I'm just going to season all surfaces. And then once we get those seasoned up, we can go ahead and let them rest for about 5 minutes before we take them out to the pit. And what's going to happen in those 5 minutes is you're going to start to see moisture pockets forming on the surface. And what that means is that rub is really adhering to the meat now. And that's important because if you just put a layer of dry rub on the outside of a rib, you can actually create a crust that becomes a barrier for the smoke to get into that meat and it almost steams the meat underneath that crust, just like you would with like a salt-packed bake. All right, these are nice and moist on the outside now. They've darkened in color. That redness has darkened. So I know these are ready to go on the pit. We're gonna take these out to our smoker. It's running at 225 degrees. All right, smoker's running at 225. Like I said, we're gonna go ahead and throw these ribs on the smoker, bone side down, and just let them soak up some smoke. Let them start to get some good color on them.
Now that the ribs are on the smoker, we're going to just let them sit in the smoke until they are ready to wrap. I know it's hard to sit and wait for them to be done, and you want to take a peek every once in a while to make sure your neighbor didn't steal them, but trust us when we say, just leave them alone.
Once the ribs are on the smoker, they are in the perfect environment and you don't want to disturb the heat and smoke by opening the lid. This forces the heat out and will actually slow down your cook. Also, a lot of people ask us about spritzing to keep the ribs moist, and we never use the technique ourselves. Though it's quite popular and you'll see it on all the cooking channels come summer, know that ribs have enough fat in them and won't dry out if you don't spritz. And you're again just slowing down the cooking process.
You see, when you spritz, you are adding moisture to the outside of the meat. And if you remember from middle school science class, energy transfer wants to be equalized. So before your ribs continue to cook, it needs to heat up the new moisture added to the exterior because your ribs are cooking from the outside in. By dropping the outside temperature, you are not only adding zero moisture to the interior of the ribs, but you are just making the cook take longer than it needs to. Let's cut back to Chef Tom as he checks on our ribs at the 4-hour mark.
All right, we are about 4 hours into this cook now. Our ribs are looking really nice. We've managed to keep the temperature of the smoker between 225 and 275, and these things have soaked up a lot of smoke, and they're looking really nice and dark, almost a dark mahogany color. And it's that color that tells me that now it's time to go ahead and wrap these in foil. So I'm going to take these off the grill. And we'll go inside and get these wrapped up. All right, I have in front of me a sheet of foil. It's longer than the rack of ribs because we want to make sure that we get the entire surface covered. And what I'm going to do is start by putting down just a thin layer of brown sugar right in the center of this piece of foil, and we want it to run about the length of the rack of ribs. So on top of that, we are going to add a little bit of honey. Just a drizzle that also will cover the entire rack. So what this is going to do is kind of create a glaze, and as it combines with the juices as they cook out of the meat, it's going to baste the meat in this really nice sweet pork base. Let's lay our ribs down on top of that honey and brown sugar. And then to the back side of the ribs, we're gonna do the same thing. Add a little brown sugar and a little bit of honey. All right, now from here, we are meat side down. That means we're looking at the bones. And what we wanna do is take the top side of the foil, the bottom side of the foil, and have them meet above the ribs on the back. We're gonna roll this nice and tight, as tight as you can without puncturing any holes through the foil, and then just fold the ends in. Now these ribs are nice and tightly wrapped, meat side down so we can braise that meat in the base that's formed in here as we continue to cook these out on the smoker.
Our ribs are now wrapped and back on the pit, so let's talk about the wrapping liquid we created with brown sugar and honey. The great thing with these ribs is that we're adding the sweetness to the exterior, so we aren't going to candy the ribs. Instead, we're adding a nice sweet layer to the outside of the ribs to help balance the savoriness of the meat.
If you want things a little less sweet, you can add butter and hot sauce, or soy sauce and a little veggie stock, or whatever flavors you want to add as a braising liquid. Just remember to do so slowly. Try a little, and then you can adjust the next recipe as needed. You can always add more to the ribs when they're done, but you can't remove the flavor if you've gone overboard.
Let's cut back to Chef Tom as he finishes the cook.
All right, so it's been another 2 hours. We're about 6 hours in total. And we're just checking for doneness now on these ribs. Now, as I pick up the packet, I can feel that it's moving pretty well. It's got some looseness to it. It's not stiff anymore. So I'm gonna open these up, and I can see that the meat is pulling away from the bone. That's a good sign. That means that we've broken down that connective tissue around the bone that attaches the meat, and it's really tenderized that meat. Now, if I pick these up and kind of twist the meat at the edges where the bones stick out, I can see that the meat is now moving freely from the bone, which means it's broken down, it's nice and tender, and these are going to be super tender, no more toughness left to these, so we can take them off. And immediately what I want to do is get some of my room temperature sauce. I've got some Kansas City style barbecue sauce here. I'm going to flip these ribs over, so I'm looking at the meat side, and brush a thin layer of sauce on top. All right, and once I have that surface covered, I'm just going to loosely tint the foil. It's not touching the meat, it's just keeping some of that heat in there. And that heat is going to allow the sauce to tack up and set up so it's really nice and sticky on the surface of the ribs.
That does it for our pork ribs recipes. Now that they've been glazed and put back in the foil, you just let that set up for a few minutes, and then you can slice and serve.
And don't forget that you can get the full recipe online at kmuw.org.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any recipes you'd like us to cook or anything you want covered on the show, email us at cookingwithfirepodcast@gmail.com. And join us next time when Chef Tom and I bust some old grilling myths. No, that isn't blood coming out of your rare steak. And give you a recipe for a phenomenal pan-seared steak on the grill.